Still don't have an opening. Best openings are no openings at all.
Old open.
Coldest of opens in space. Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another episode of Off the Bridge. Insert awesome Star Trek music here. Anyway.
I am Jay. A mock time fight scene.
There you go. That's all we need. Is just, can we get like every person who listens to this to do their own little version of the Amok Time fight scene, and then like someone merge it all together in one great big app thing, and we just play that to start with, everyone going you know, all the way through. That'd be brilliant. Just start every single episode with that. Anyways, I am Jay, this is Janeway, or Dylan, whichever one we got. We still haven't figured that one out yet, have we?
It comes and it goes.
The one what goes by many names. Most of them we can't talk about in polite company. Hey, we gotta give people something to think about, haven't we? Either way. Welcome, welcome.
Man has no name.
I understood that reference. People on Twitch, listening or watching live, welcome. Hello, good evening. We will name check you guys in a little bit. Please feel free, as always, get involved. People who are watching and or listening later on, pre-records. Hi, I'm in your earballs. Do you like the sound of this? We're going to do ASMR later. Not. Welcome to Off the Bridge. Strange new episodes. We have things to talk about today. Quite a few things, and actually quite relevant for once for one of these shows, because when I do shows, not since my wrestling shows have I had something that's been an on-the-day announcement or a within the 24 hours of it being announced section. So, Mon Capitaine, do you want to give us a rundown of what we have in store for the beautiful people today?
You want me to talk about the absolutely no structure we have going on here?
We've got bullet points. We've got bullet points. Don't make him think that we don't have a plan. Otherwise, I'll stop listening now when it's only been like 2 minutes.
I look like a man with a plan.
Yeah. I look like a man with a plan.
I don't even know where that's from, I just know it's a reference. Anyway, today we have... Hey. We're going to be talking about Star Trek Prodigy.
Yes.
Strange New Worlds.
Yes.
Obviously. We're going to be talking about Kate Mulgrew, obviously.
Of course.
Nothing specific, just heavy Kate Mulgrew.
Heavy themes today already.
And we're going to be talking about the episode of TNG, The Offspring, because it is the anniversary of it.
Hey. 31 years young. It's older than me, but not by a lot. It's crazy. So, I mean, Sorry, please continue. I need to shut up and not cut you off all the time.
Oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I just think it's also older than me, but by quite a bit.
Well, not all of us have been lucky enough to be born in, you know, the same decade that we're in. Sorry, not the same decade, the same millennium. No, wait, whatever it is. The same thing that we're in. The same cluster of 100 that we're in. Same century, there we go. I got there in the end. I've not been to a nebula full of coffee any time recently. Anyways, I think best place to start is, in true old Top Gear fashion, it's time for the news! He said, it's time for the news! There we go.
The
transition didn't work. It's fine. Everything is going extremely well. Biggest piece of Trek news that we have today, at time of recording at least, is... Metal drumroll, please. We have news on the announcements of the Strange New Worlds cast. So the best thing is, I know it's disco time, and you'll all come to know that we don't really go for... No, we're all right with disco. It's not the best. At least it's not Kelvin. Anyway, Strange New Worlds has added 5 new cast members, and production has officially begun. I'm going to let you list off the names, because I have no idea as to who any of these actors are. So, you know, we've got the Spock, we got the Pike, and we got number one from Disco. So anyone who knows those actors, you know those actors. There's no, you know, big surprise there. But we have 5 100% confirmed new names, and they are somewhat new. Who are they? Where do we know them from? Take it away.
Well, me personally, I've only heard of 2 of them because I watched Mirror that they were in. But the 5 new people that they announced were Abs Olusanmukun from Black Mirror, Christina Chung from Black Mirror, Delia Rose Gooden from Jagged Little Pill, Jess Bush from Skinford, and Melissa Navier from Dietland. And they're joining Anson Mount, Ethan Peck, and Rebecca Ramin.
So, people. In true Star Trek, true Star Trek tradition is the English he was going for there, the boys and girls. We have people that don't really have big names. So, like, unless you've watched things like Jagged Little Pill, which I've never heard of personally, Skinford, Dietland, none of them. The only names in there that make any sense to me is, like, Black Mirror, but I've never watched the show. You probably have no idea who these people are.
Yeah, I think they're very niche people as well. They weren't, like 2 from Black Mirror that I do know, they weren't, like, main characters sort of thing. They were, like, lower down, and I think that's nice that they give them sort of like a spotlight, like they did in Disco when they brought like Ian Alexander or Blue Del Barrio in, like the OA, which isn't, it's not necessarily like a low show, like nobody watches, but like not a lot of people have heard of the OA.
Not a clue. So, okay, I'm reading through a little bits as we're going through this, so I'm kind of getting a feel for who these people are. Yeah, I think it's true Star Trek tradition here. Pull the people who have been like background actors or had bit parts or small parts in small roles that no one really knows of and bring them into the mainstream. I mean, that's pretty much what they did with most people in Star Trek. Like, think about it. Had you really heard of Garrett Wang before Voyager? Had you really have heard of Michael Dorn? Unless you watched, was it Chips? I think it was Chips that he was in, or Brent Spiner, or Patrick Stewart. No one would have known that firefighter from Coronation Street that made like 2 appearances in the black and white days of Coronation Street if it wasn't for that, you know, some stage actor. So no one would have had a clue. So I'm hoping they kind of do with this what they did with every Star Trek actor they've done so far, like pull them out of, I won't so much say entire obscurity, but like bring them into the spotlight and do something really good with them and help skyrocket their careers.
Yeah, I'm also really excited to see who they play as well.
Yeah, like, are they going to be brand new characters that we've never heard of before? Or are they going to be replacing people?
I'd hope so, because obviously we have our main 3. We've got Ethan Peck's, obviously Spock. Rebecca Ramin is number 1, and Samantha's Captain Pike. So you've got your main 3 that we remember from The Cage. It's kind of nice to see like what races they might have on this ship, like if they're going to be like new aliens or if we're going to have, you know, I don't know, some other ones that we've seen before.
This brings me on to something I was going to say real quick, because I had internet troubles last night. There's a reason for me bringing this up, don't worry, and it is Trek related. I was watching Star Trek 2009 4:00 this morning for no reason other than the little R2-D2 flying past in one of the scenes, blink and you'll miss it. They mention a race that they should never have had any knowledge of to that point. They mention Cardassians. And I'm hoping that we don't... Yeah, you get like... It's a little throwaway line. Oh, something to do with the Cardassians. Blah, done. I'm hoping we don't get stuff like that in this. So it's like, there's one thing I had a problem with Disco, and anyone who's been in the streams when we've been talking about Disco, when Disco's been around, how we've had aliens that you've never seen or heard of before when the Federation is still small. It was a big thing that I had about Enterprise. It's like, how did they know of these guys when there was nowhere known of them at the time? Discoveries going on from Enterprise, so it kind of makes sense that we know about, say, Romulans at this point, but we shouldn't know about Cardassians or whatever's. It makes sense, like, you know, later seasons of Disco that you see the Cardassians in the future, but whatever, blah, 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 blah. I'm hoping we don't get a, hey, look, there's that alien, because we know of them in the Star Trek universe in Strange New Worlds this time around. Like, I'm hoping they don't just do a fan service alien thing. It would be very interesting to see what they do.
It will, and it'll also be interesting to see if they sort of have, like, because obviously in, like, TOS times, we knew of the Andorians, we knew the Tellarites, the Benzites. It would be nice to see what they do with it, with like the technology we have now, because let's be honest, the TOS aliens weren't the best.
Anyone remember the dog alien? He's a dog. No, he's not. He's an alien. No, he's not. He's a dog with a horn on his head.
Stop I hope it. they bring in Anson Mount's dog and just put a unicorn headband on it, and they're like, this is an alien.
You know what, just for the, I know I said let's not have fan service and stuff like that, but just for the fan service and the funniness of it, let's do it. That would be the best little thing that you could put in it. Just for the lols. Just for the lols. And I hate myself for saying just for the lols. Why did I just say that? I anyway, so this is some of the stuff for the cast. So Babs, I'm not going to attempt to say that last name because I butcher the easiest of names. Babs has television credits, including his roles in Netflix Black Mirror, as we mentioned. He's been in Marvel's Defenders. He's been in the miniseries Night Of, and History's 2016 remake of the miniseries Roots. Has a very good tie-in with Star Trek, because where did LeVar Burton start? Roots. It's kind of cool.
Roots, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool little tie-in on that one. His film credits include the upcoming highly anticipated Dune remake and Wrath of Man. I've not watched any of those shows. Instantly in my head, as soon as I saw Wrath of, I was like, Wrath of Khan? What? He'd be a very old
panic
man by
of
now.
Remake of Wrath of Khan. Like, God, could you imagine?
It was bad enough that they did that for Into Darkness. We're gonna do, I think there is one, there is one episode of this that I want to do at some point down the line, when we need to do a ranked thing, like a tier system of every Star Trek movie, and we talk about the reasons why they go where they go.
I think we'd have quite different,
I don't know. I think me and you, with that shared brain cell that we go between, I think we would probably get...
Possibly, but there'll be one or two that caused an argument.
Oh, of course. Like, there's never going to be a time where there wouldn't be a perfectly agreed upon part of that. I can quite imagine we're going to have some pretty close views, because then at the same time, we can also go to the chat for the deciding vote on those as well, which is going to be quite cool. So if you want to get involved in that, please feel free. But yeah, Babs, I've not heard of any, I mean, I know of the shows, I don't know of the guy. I completely forgot to bring this up, by the way. This is the release picture that came with it, so this is like the crew as they are. I'm guessing this is in order of how they're listed in the list as well, so Babs is the first guy, and so on and so on and so on. So we bring on to Christina Chong, who has a lot of credits to her name. A lot. I mean, she's currently in a live-action adaptation of classic Hanna-Barbera cartoon Tom and Jerry, which I didn't realize there was a live-action adaptation of Tom and Jerry. So that's news to me. Like, how do you live-action adapt Tom and Jerry? But, you know,
I
so she'll be... she'll be used to acting with invisible creatures around her, I guess. That could be quite cool. So plenty of green screen knowledge. Currently in, has been in Sky One's Bulletproof. Been in Black Mirror, as you said. Does she look familiar to you, having watched Black Mirror?
No, but I recognize her from Doctor Who.
See, that's the thing. You say Doctor Who. I don't recognize her from Doctor Who.
She was in, I think it's A Good Man Goes to War. She's the soldier woman, the girl. And
wait,
Doctor's
the one who...
got me and he's got his cot. She's got like a cap on and stuff.
The one good girl, like the one good soldier, other than the gay couple that they had.
Yeah, that's her.
Jesus. Okay, she's come a long way since then.
Is she called Lorna Bucket or something like that? Yeah, that's her.
Damn. Okay. I know one person from one thing that they've done then. Jeez. So yeah, she's also in the ABC miniseries of Kings and Prophets, BBC hit series Line of Duty, Sci-Fi's Dominion, Fox's miniseries 24, Live Another Day. So she's got a lot of credits to her name. I think she's like the most accredited actress in this lineup. She's also been in Christmas Eve opposite Star Trek Captain Jean-Luc Picard himself, Patrick Stewart. So she's been in a movie with the one of the best captains of all time. One of. And has also been
one
in...
One of the captains.
That's where we differ, I think. But that's for good reason. We'll get to that one day. And been in Johnny English Reborn. So she's been in quite a bit. She's probably like the most well-known of this whole new announced lineup. But I still have no clue who she is.
It's good, though.
Yeah, I'm going to be pleasantly surprised, I think. I'd like to think, anyway. So, out of all these people, Celia, you're more than welcome to read out Celia or Jess or Melissa's stuff. Like, I've never heard of any of these people to know anything about any of them.
No, me neither. But, Sarah was good, and she did quite a lot of Broadway. She's been in Urinetown, Fame, and Jagged Little Pill. Never heard of that. That's another musical as well.
Oh, yeah, I don't know anything about musicals. At all. That's probably why you love Brent Spiner so much. Big singing boy. So Bowie said that Babs has also played Clayton in series 4 episode 6 of Black Museum. Is that Doctor Who? I'm trying to think what season 4 episode 6 of, I'm guessing it was Doctor Who because that's what we were talking about at the time, but then that's not list. Bowie will get back to us on that, thankfully.
Hi, by the way, Bowie.
Bonjour, Bowie. Sorry, I forgot to say hey when we saw you in earlier. I honestly, none of these guys have. Oh, Black Mirror, there you go. So that's where the Black Mirror credit comes from. That's where Babs's one.
That far in
there you go. That's where Babs's one time comes in, is that one episode of Black Mirror when he was in that one bit. So he gets a nice little nod and a name check from that.
Nice.
Hey, it works, right? Like, as long as you're kind of getting your name out there and you're getting seen, that's what matters right there. Yeah, so Jess, same thing. I've not heard of anything she's been in.
I know she's the Australian one, though. Quite clearly by her credits, but I remember seeing her in the video.
I was gonna say, would that be just because of the fact that it says the Role of Bella in Australian series Halifax Retribution? What a name. That's a bank trying to get retribution to us. Like, Halifax Retribution, Return of the Bald-Headed Singing Guy.
Wait, hate was that?
Every single one was, of them. Yeah. Just as bad as the Go Compare guy, but there we go. Yeah, so Jess has starred as Helen in indie film Skinford. Never heard of it. Played a recurring guest role of Kendall in the Channel 10 series Playing for Keeps. I'm guessing that's an Aussie thing, maybe an American thing, not sure. She also played the role of Bella in Australian series Halifax Retribution. In addition, Bush went on to guest on the ABC series Les Norton opposite Rebel Wilson and David Wenham.
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 So many... She looks like very familiar, but I just none of them credits are hitting me.
You know what? If they're doing this, if they're picturing them the same way they're listed, if they did a TNG remake, or just like, you know, a reboot or recast, she would be a perfect Tasha Yar.
She would. She looks very, very familiar though, and it's not Denise Crosby.
I'm gonna have to look that up at some point. I'm gonna look her up. And then, yeah, Melissa Navia?
Navia,
there you go. Go on, what's she known for? I talk too much on these things, go for it.
Because I can't read.
You say that like I can.
I definitely can. Hi, Bowie, hi. It's really awkward. She's been in Dietland and Showtime's Billions and Homeland. And she's been in Broadway and off Broadway. So they're kind of like musical actors, it seems, for the most of them.
It does sound like that, actually. Like, it does sound like most of them are like obscure or Broadway actors, which is strange. It's really strange.
It's good though, because theater kids are very good at acting.
Yes,
because very seriously.
Because you have to act to the back of the house in theater. You can't just be like, oh, hi there, yeah, no, I'm just saying my lines, I'm doing everything. You've got to be like, I am doing this, and I am doing this well, and everyone will feel what I am doing in my part. It's like, you really need to live that role instead of it just being like, well, hi. You know, like most people just like phoning it in these days.
Yeah, and I think that's what I love about like Star Trek bringing in characters and like actors like this, is because if anybody's going to convincingly talk to the King of the Worm people, it's going to be a theater kid. Like...
Yes, the CG King of the Worm people that's also a brain slug that you don't actually physically see on set except for a little dot on a green screen, so you've got an eye level. It's definitely a theater kid that's going to do it.
Exactly, and I think that's why I'm going to go off on a bit of a tangent here, but it's still relevant to Star Trek fans. Is why Chain of Command worked so well was because you had two actors, you had Patrick Stewart and David Warner, who were both theatre actors, two actors of such gravitas, essentially yes. Shouting to each other for 2 hours about how many lights there are in a room.
Yes.
They did it so well because they were just so... They were used to shouting to an audience in a theatre that they just did it so perfectly.
Chain of Command itself is such an underrated episode. It's like, it's always known for the one thing of there are four lights, and that's all people take away from that episode, but it shows a really good side of Star Trek storytelling. It doesn't always need to be you know, everything that you saw of TNG back then, or everything that you expect from a typical sci-fi TV show. It showed the humanity of Picard at the same time as showing the absolute cruel bastardness that is the Cardassians.
Oh, definitely, yeah. And it's nice to sort of see how much of a range Patrick Stewart had, because you can see him through those two episodes just breaking down and down and down, but not giving up. And exactly. They just gradually get louder and louder at each other, like, there are five lights, there are four, and just over and over.
Four lights! Just that one defiant line. And then at the end, when Picard and Riker are sitting in the ready room, he's like, there was a time I was prepared to say there were five lights just to get it to stop. And you'd never expect to hear that from Picard.
No,
I may have misquoted that a little bit, but you know.
Yeah, that's why I love Star Trek so much. Like, I don't know if you've ever, I know you said you're not into musicals, but I don't know if you've ever seen Lin-Manuel Miranda?
No. Not once.
He was in Hamilton, he wrote for Moana, but he was in the Heights as well, and he does this performance in Hamilton at the end where he's doing like this monologue, and he's like, legacy, what is a legacy? And he's talking, and just the whole room is just silent. Like, wow. And it's just, it's insane, because then you see him in the Heights, and he's just this mental guy, like this mental Puerto Rican guy. He still sells it, and that's what it reminded me of there. So, like, I think it's going to be good. I think getting the theater kids in is really a good casting choice there.
Agreed. Like, I honestly think that that's probably where a lot of this is going to come into it. Like, I want to see... Like, what do you... What kind of Star Trek do you think this is going to be then? Do you think it's going to be the typical same old modern day Trek where there's got to be action scenes and every bit of the story is going to take like 3/4 of the episode and they can still wrap it up very quickly in the last 10 minutes? Or do you think they're going to maybe try and go back to older Star Trek storytelling where instead of having like one entire story arc going throughout the entire season culminating in a big finale, i.e. Discovery every single season, or do you think we're going to have like just individual set episodes that tie into each other but not one overwhelming story arc that you must have paid attention since episode one to understand?
I'm not sure. I hope what it is not much better than Enterprise, because it should fall after Enterprise, shouldn't it? Really, because it's before Kirk but after Archer.
So it shouldn't
be any better than what we experienced in TOS, like Discovery was. But it definitely shouldn't be as boring as Enterprise.
See, I think Enterprise was one of those ones where I've always said it, that is nothing but the shouty Jonathan Archer show. It's like,
I loved Enterprise.
I adored it. Just for this is the show of one naive man getting progressively angrier and losing his shit until he goes into some kind of psychotic episode where he believes he's in a completely different universe to take it all over, and someone steals it away from him, and then we're back to where we were again. It's all a fantasy world for him because he's just all gone crazy. Headcanon, boom. No, I'm joking. That's a beautiful off the top of the head little story for you. Personally, I just want them to do a good job because I love Pike. I love Discovery era Pike. I think he was the best, one of the best things of season two.
Oh.
One of.
You're entitled to that opinion.
Well, I say one of just for the fact that he kind of, he's probably one of the best Pikes that I've seen. One of, because, I mean, there's only been, what, 3 Pikes on screen so far, right?
Yeah.
The first one, you can never get any better than the original. But
no, that's right, that's true.
Discovery era Pike is definitely better than Kelvin Timeline Pike in certain respects, because he got more character development, obviously because it's TV rather than movie, but there was just more to him. The actor did a good job. It's one of those, if he was given better scripts he probably could have been a lot better, but I personally feel like he was a pretty good actor on that one. Good choice for it, excuse me, my apologies. And a good choice for a new captain role. Like, I want to see how he goes. I wouldn't say like high hopes, but I have hopes of this being good.
Yeah, me too. It looks good, and I'm just really excited to see who plays who and what aliens we get to see on the bridge, and mainly what they encounter as well.
See, because that's the thing, and we're gonna
move
on.
Not a lot
from
known about what Pike ran into.
True.
Really.
Because everyone only really knows of the Kirk era with the Enterprise and everything that came from the 5-year mission there. And there was never any aliens on the ship that we know of.
Yeah, like what do we definitely know that Pike knew about? Vulcans, Binars, and androids.
I still can't believe that he knew about Binars. I don't think he would have known about androids, because the first thought would have been
it would have been Kirk, wouldn't it?
Yeah, with the spinny spin around fast enough and you can automatically create an android that way, that's a perfect replica, you know, spin him around on a Ferris wheel or a thing that you get in playgrounds that I completely forget the name of.
I know what you're on about.
Yeah, them things that make you feel dreadfully sick. Just stand on that right in the middle, look down, you're fine. Spin someone around on one of them for like 10 minutes and boom, perfect clone, and he's an android with a penis-shaped rock that he wants to hit people with. Wait, that's just Kirk. No, like, he really didn't, as far as we know, he really didn't see much, and especially the way he ended up in the original series, there's going to be new forms of Pike, and it was roundabout. Thank you, Junie. I cannot believe I could not get roundabout. That's so easy. Anyways, on that terrible disappointment, we're going to move on to our next part here. I stumbled across this in the morning, well, not long after I woke up, I freaking loved seeing this. The one and only Kate Mulgrew, our captain, has 100% officially approved of the design of the Voyager J. By tweeting, and I quote, "What's this I hear about a Janeway class ship? She's a beauty and looks ready for all sorts of adventures. Go boldly with my blessing." Thanks to Trek Online Game and Thomas the Cat for sharing with me. Ship modeled by Tobias Richer, I think. I apologize if I got his name wrong. I know he's not going to hear this, but you know. And a screenshot by Donnie. Cannot say his last name because I'm not that great with names. But this is the Voyager J on screen right now. Or at least one of the angles. I wanted to try find a better shot from Discovery, but there's just nothing that's clear enough to kind of give us a good enough model of it. Personally, I don't like it.
Well, do you not?
I said this to you before we started. The back end looks like a bottle opener. Like, there's three things that I don't like about Discovery era ships, or the year, what is it, 3000, or whatever it is, 30th century ships. I don't like the holes that they don't need to have. I don't like the separated nacelles. And I don't like, it looks like this thing has no neck. Like, there's no smoothing between the what would be the saucer and the secondary hull. It's just flat piece, nothing in the middle, done. Where is ship? It looks like they took, what is it, the Prometheus, whatever the one was, the quantum slipstream drive that wasn't actually a Federation ship.
The pointy one.
Pathfinder, whichever one it was, Prometheus maybe, whichever. I sound like I don't know my track. I really do, but when it comes to recording these things, it just goes brain empty. All gone.
Just so angry about the ship.
Yes, it's just like everything gets overwhelmed by just how bad it looks. It's like, why is there a hole in the back of the secondary hull? Why does it look like there is no neck? Like,
I like it.
Oh, why do you have to say something so controversial yet wrong?
Thank you. Mr. Picard is the best captain.
One of the best captains, I said. Go on, why?
I don't know. It,
go on.
It just looks different. Like, I'm bored of the round saucer and the back bits. Now, I want ones that look detached. I want a bottle opener. I'm sick of pizza cutters. I would like a bottle opener. I got one.
See, don't get me wrong. I would be happy if that was like that as a ship, but if the nacelles were maybe attached and it was a little bit more sweeping than that, where it looked like it was more connected, not just like there's a needle thin neck between and it's just a flat piece with a flat piece and that's it. Like, I want more from it. I want it to look like, I get it, it's like what, a thousand years ahead of the other, like 700 years, isn't it, ahead of the Voyager that we know and love. I get that. And I know designs change. I get it. But I just don't like the way that everything's all separate and you got holes. Like, look at Discovery now. Why did they put holes in it? There's no need for that. Why did they take the pylons away? Like, the stanchions in Saucer. Like, they're just going from...
I don't like the Discovery.
My problem was, like, the one thing I always had with Star Trek, like, my argument was Star Trek versus Star Wars, right? Star Trek gave us more realistic looking ships. Like, this is what Star Trek, like, this is what ships could be if built in space, because they don't have to worry about aerodynamics or anything like that. Think about the Red Dwarf thing, you know, like, it doesn't matter what they look like, how they're gone, because they're never going to go into atmosphere. The Voyager class, like, the actual Intrepid class ship would go into atmosphere, so it needed to kind of fit aerodynamics. That's why it looked as good as it did. Star Wars was just like, hey, let's do this and let's put this thing here and let's have a big freaking fin going 1,000 feet into the air and like a teeny tiny little cockpit and all this kind of thing. It's why I wasn't a fan of like the modular ships that they do now, you know, where it all kind of like comes apart and goes together and does all this weird crap as well. like, other than the fact that it made Detma look like a complete and utter badass when she was taking down the Orion ship, but that was about it.
That's valid, but I loved Bookship. Like, the first time we saw that come apart, I was just sat. Like, fuck.
Like, I like it, don't get me wrong. I liked the way it looked. I like it as a ship, but I just don't like it as an... I get it, technology's moved on. I'm an old man. I hate new things. I'm sounding a lot like Pig in some of these things, where it's just like, I don't like the way this thing is. I don't think this thing looks right. This shouldn't be like this. It should look different. It just doesn't feel like a Star Trek ship. It looks like a Star Trek thing, but it looks like a ship that, like, a fan would have come up with. And that's it. Like, you look at the... I know we've completely gone off of Kate Mulgrew giving it her seal of approval and stuff like that, but, like, I guess it's just, let's rant about the ship thing now. The Odyssey class, the Enterprise J, or F, J, no, F, the one after the E, yeah, the F, sorry, no, because I'm thinking of the horrible, ugly
one
monstrosity.
After E.
I'm looking, shut up, dyslexic, leave me alone. No, I'm looking at the horrible monstrosity that was the Enterprise J and trying to forget that it ever existed. And yeah, I cannot see them going from the Enterprise J, where it's all like spindly and thin and stuff like that, and the cells not being remotely visible when the pylons go into a needle point, and then them going, you know what, fine, it's okay, we'll build solid ships again, but we'll have them with holes in and detach the cells instead. Like, also, here's a new view, I found this through feeds and stuff, it still doesn't look fantastic. I still personally cannot get behind that as a design. Like, I like it, but I don't like it, if that makes sense.
It'll probably grow on you, to be fair. I'm more concerned of how they're going to put this into cartoon form, quote unquote.
That's
going to look.
See, that's a question with Prodigy.
That's obviously...
That's going to be one of the things, isn't it? Prodigy, is this going to be the ship of Prodigy, or is it just going to be... something entirely new, because you've been doing a little bit of research into that, have you not?
No, I just kind of saw the big spiky dude and was like, he's gonna be my favorite.
You've seen more of it.
There's not
I
much
have.
On it at the minute. Like, there's like the promo picture that they released, which, by the way, I'm seeing a cosplay in this
already.
Not a fan, but I am, yeah, immediately. And there's like a little blobby dude and a robot, and it genuinely, for a Nickelodeon show, it looks very, very cool.
I was gonna say, is it like generic Nickelodeon, let's put colorful creatures and crazy things and stuff like that in there to make it look like kids will enjoy it because it's all over the place and blah blah blah.
Have you not seen the picture? Do you want to see the picture?
Personally, I'm
okay.
I encourage everyone listening to Google it. I personally am probably never going to watch it anyway, even though it does have our Lord and Savior Kate Mulgrew in there. I'll probably wait for it to come out online. Like, I'm not going to watch it as soon as it comes out. I'll just wait for it to come out on like one of the catch-ups or something and watch it from there, if it's possible to grab it on a catch-up.
But, it should be, because it's on Nickelodeon. It's like a kid's...
Oh yeah, I'm sure people have it up on YouTube or something very quickly then, and Paramount will be like, no! You bad internet pirates! You're as bad as the Orions! Get that off now! And then people go, sorry, didn't mean to do it, and then re-upload it 2 minutes later somewhere else.
Looking at that promo picture that they released, I'm curious to see, one, how Janeway fits into this, and two, how they're going to cartoon her looking. Because none of these look remotely normal.
I was gonna say, because that's the question, is it going to be like... older Janeway? Is it going to be like post Voyager return home? Is it going to be Admiral? Is it going to be like old Admiral? Like, where are they doing this in her her lifespan? That's what I want to know.
Looking at this, there's a... I think one of these is going to be the captain of the whatever ship they decide to use, whether it's the Voyager J, which Janeway. Said it looks like something out of Fifth Element.
It kind of does, actually. Yes. Bowie saying that, it really does. It actually does look like something from the Fifth Element. I keep hitting the wrong transition on that. That's stupid. It looks like the what's it called? Looks like the stones, like the stone things, like the actual elemental stones, a little bit. And it also looks like the sort of stuff that they, yes, for someone who hasn't watched Fifth Element wouldn't have a damn clue what I'm talking about. Marty did say that it looks like a big cup holder, and you'd be buggered if you was to lose the side parts, so like the cells. And would gravity pull the nacelles away? There was an explanation for that in Discovery, but I cannot remember it.
I was too busy looking at Detmer and Owo to remember what they said.
Yeah, that's a whole story. We need to get into the Detmer Owo situation at some point. There's definitely nothing happening there.
We should do one where we talk about ships and you talk about actual ships and I'll talk about people.
Yes, because that was a conversation that totally didn't happen once before, where I thought something was to do with Star Trek ships and it turned out it was people. Like an idiot. Also, Loz Hen Lofwan, how you doing?
Hi, Loz.
Is that pretty much our bases covered with Trek news? I think that is, isn't it?
News-wise, yeah.
Yeah. We've covered Prodigy, what we know. We've covered Kate Mulgrew. I mean, she did also say, someone asked if there was going to be like a coffee bar on the ship, and I love her reply saying, yes, multiple on multiple decks by request of the captain. Or something along those lines, like paraphrasing, because it's just brilliant. Like, there has to be coffee-related things on that ship because it is the Janeway class. Like, Voyager J officially classified the Janeway class, which is absolutely amazing. Because I think that is the first named character to have a ship named after him. Like, as in, like, an entire class named after them, I think. I could be wrong. I know Nog had the Eisenberg class, but that was, like, it was the USS Nog. It wasn't, like, it's not the Nog class, it's just the Eisenberg class.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You're
more knowledgeable on those kind of ships than I am.
I will probably get harassed and corrected in the comments if anyone hears me say that, so please, come at me, I will fight you, and you will win. There's no backing down.
And I'll fight you, and you will lose.
Del's making Star Trek as it looks like your Alienware desktop. There you go. See, maybe that's what they were going for. There's all that brand stuff. You know what I'm curious about, actually, real quick, before we move to just like general tangents and Trek stuff, because we do have another little bit that we're going to be talking about in a minute. Anyone who doesn't know, Hero Collector does the Eagle Moss ships collection. And I used to collect them when they were doing the original stuff, but long story, there's so many of them now. They're now doing a Star Trek Universe ships collection. And I was like, surely you've been doing that this entire time. They're now bringing out ships of Discovery and Picard and all that lot. And I'm sitting there going, how are they going to bring out the new Discovery with the separated nacelles? How do you turn that into a ship model? Like, what are you going to do with the nacelles? Are you going to use, like, clear plastic just to kind of, like, have them there but not be there kind of thing? Because that wouldn't make
really
any sense.
I don't think that's a necessary thing to release.
I wouldn't think so.
It looks very similar anyway.
It's literally the same ship. You just cut. You could go, right, okay, I want to just modify my... Buy another Discovery one, right? Get a Dremel. Cut a couple of holes in it that don't need to be there because you've now made less room in your ship for literal dead space. You can tell these annoy me a little bit, can't you? And then just pull the nacelles off. You know, just pull the nacelles off. You'll be fine. Just, there you go. Couple of floating nacelles. Don't need to build anything for them. Just throw them in the bin. It's all fine. Then just cut holes in your ship model that you didn't need to have in there because you've now got less space in your ship. And there you go, you're all good. Perfect. Solution to an unnecessary problem.
End scene. No, that's completely right, though. Like, the only thing that's really different is that the back comes off.
It's literally
a couple of holes in it.
Like, they've changed the shape of it a little bit. They've squidged it down a bit. They've taken a couple of pylons from the outer ring to the inner ring, and they've cut holes in it and taken the pylons off. That's it. Like, there's really not... I realize I repeated the same thing twice back to back on that, but just emphasizing the point. It's just... there's no real need for it. There's really not. I don't get it. But there you go. Do you guys want to feel old?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, a beautiful, beautiful episode came out 31 years ago today. And that episode was The Offspring. The one and only Data-based episode where Data becomes a dad.
My boy.
31 years ago today, The Offspring was aired in the States, and it's absolutely crazy to think that it's that old. Because I don't get it. Like, how can it be that old but still be that good?
Because it was season 3 and Jonathan Frakes directed it. That's how it can be that good.
That is a very good, legitimate answer. It's just...
anything Jonathan Frakes laid his hands on was brilliant.
Yeah. It's just... it's so weird to think that it's... just how is TNG over 30 years old for a start? I mean, granted, I am aware of the passage of time and how it works. But... 31 years old.
TNG finished before I was born.
TNG finished when I was 4 or 5 years old, maybe.
It wasn't even a thought when it ended.
It's probably a good thing. So basically, for anyone who doesn't know, The Offspring, here's a quick rundown for it. It's the 16th episode in a third season of The Next Generation, and the 64th episode of the series overall. Set in the 24th century, the series follows the adventures of the Starfleet crew of the Enterprise D. In this episode, the android Data creates his child of his own named Lao and tries to raise her while Picard takes on Starfleet research to keep them from taking her away. It's like a whole battle. It's almost like The Measure of a Man all over again. Did I get that one right? I always get the episode name wrong.
Of a man.
The Data, is he a human, is he not?
It's makes almost me so angry.
It makes me so sad and angry at the same time. It's crazy to think that that's a whole thing, but it was done such a they did such a good job with that one. But that's a whole different show entirely, because we could probably spend an entire day talking about that.
We should.
We can. We have time. But we've got the whole rundown of Data goes off to... I'm paraphrasing and trying to remember this off the top of my head here. So, like, Data invites Troy, Wesley, and Geordi to his lab, surprises them and introduces them to a featureless human android. I'm speed reading from Wikipedia here just to kind of get through, like, part of the basics. He created based on... based on his own structural design and recent adventures in Federation cybernetics technology advances, even describing it as his child. He names the android Lao after the Hindi word for beloved, which is really cool. Star Trek has a theme of using beloved in many different ways. Imzadi is beloved, if I remember correctly. There's Lao, which is beloved. There's a few different other references to it somewhere, which I can't remember.
Tyler, what Spock says. The yes. Vulcan word for love or beloved.
There you go.
Stems from Hebrew. Found.
See, honestly, I think pretty much everything Vulcan related stems from Hebrew and the Jewish culture, in most ways at least, but that's a tangent for later, maybe. but yeah, basically, Data is encouraging Lao to select a gender, which is always an interesting topic to come on most TV shows, and the way they handled it was pretty damn well. With Troy's assistance in considering many options on board, with different species and so on, as well as the databanks, Lyle nails down the possibilities to include Klingon males, which Troy points out would make a friend for Worf, and ends up selecting the appearance of a young female human. And then basically the rest of the episode is her learning and advancing beyond Data's own capabilities and eventually feeling emotion, if I remember correctly. Before she sadly starts breaking down and has to shut down for good, which was a very sad moment. I butchered that entire thing, but that's kind of like a quick rundown of the episode. So, like, what did we think as a general episode? Like, just story, everything about that entire thing. What did we think?
I liked it. I thought it was a nice little advancement on Data trying to be human, and he finally, you know, because he'd been following Miles and Keiko around, like, wondering how they were getting along, and he was like, I want to be more human. I'm going to acquire a child. Like Sarek does when he goes to the mall. He just picks up children that are alone and is like, mine.
Wait,
now.
Hang on. Are you trying to tell me that Sarek is the Vulcan Angelina Jolie?
Yes. He goes to the mall with a net.
Brilliant.
Walks into it, like Walmart. Sued. I don't care. He walks into Walmart and then
Sarek,
there's a child
stuck there. Walmart quality Angelina Jolie.
Yes, and he's like, this child is alone, he's mine now. And the store attendant's like, sir, please put that child down, he's mine now. Sir, please, mine. That's how he acquires children. And then Michael Burnham just acquires parents. I'm not going to talk about Michael Burnham.
The Ballad of Burnham confirmed.
But yeah, get back onto my point. I just think it was really nice because Data was really proud of his little creation, and then Captain Picard was like, you can't have her. I'm gonna piss off Starfleet. Bollocks to you, mate. He's got a kid.
That's one thing that is the one time where I was like actively hating Picard for a while. It's like, but why? Why is he not allowed to? Why is he not allowed to have? Wow. Give him a solid reason. Don't just go because Starfleet said so. It's like, you, as Data kind of points out, you wouldn't stop anyone else from having a kid, would you?
Just what annoyed me the most was that Picard was like, you can't have this one. This is not a life form that's approved by Starfleet. But then proceeds to fight for Data's rights in Measure of a Man, who is an android not permitted as a life form.
Exactly. I mean, you think about this as the two separate... So you think about it. Picard should be fighting Data's corner at this point, considering, as you said, everything with Measure of a Man that came a series before that. Was it a series or two series before that? I think, I can't remember whether that was season one or season two. But you have Picard actively, fighting for Data's rights as a man to become human in some sense, to be able to make his own choices and decisions. Then to turn back and go, yeah, nah, fuck that, mate. You're just going to piss Starfleet off. Not allowed to do it.
Yeah, and the reality of it was, it didn't piss anybody at Starfleet off. Nobody cared. It was, not really, anyway. They were kind of like, yeah, but fuck him, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, bad words may be used in this stream. If you do not like them, please fuck off. I mean, sorry, what?
I do apologize. Is this like a PG stream?
We're demonetized on YouTube already. Oh, well, whatever am I going to do with that 0.05 cents per ad?
I'm probably the youngest one here.
How can it still be that old and still be that good? You couldn't have summed yourself up better. Kang, you beautiful man. Thank you. Bring back, Marty's saying bring back Tripples and John Sherwood Delancey Jr. as Q, and he's happy. That's, you know what, that's something. Kind of going to, what's it called? Going to the Strange New Worlds thing again. Super quickly. They're kind of, I think they're going to be missing a trick if they don't somehow include Q at least once. Same with Discovery. They need to include Clue at least once. include clue, include
Hugh
at least one time, just to keep the equivalent of the Undertaker's WrestleMania streak alive, because Q has been in every single Star Trek franchise except for the original series, and except for, okay, granted it's two out of the, all of them except for Enterprise, but I mean if he was in Enterprise there'd be no bloody point, because then they'd know about it from that point onwards. But you could almost say that he was in original series because there was the Q-like entity in TOS. It actually got confirmed later on that he was a Q entity. Can't remember that guy's name though. He was the one who was doing all the weird shit, and yeah, I can't. Tremaine, Blaine? Wasn't it? Was it Tremaine?
Trelane,
that was it. Yeah, Trelane was basically just a Q, but obviously pre-Q at that point.
But, I think in Strange New Worlds, they could get John Delancey's son, who played Q Jr., to play Q. Because then it'd be like, because obviously Q is an entity who doesn't age. So it'd be like it, and he looks very similar to his dad. Like,
yeah.
In like photocopy sort of thing. So, like, it would be like Q hadn't even changed.
Sort of slightly smudgy fax over, sort of like, you get the rough idea, he's sort of there.
Yeah, and it'd be like a nice little nod to, like, he visited Pike and then he just disappeared for a bit. And then he sent, like, another Q, which was Trelane, to Kirk, and it, like, flows through quite nicely.
Yeah, because that would
obviously
definitely
make sense that they weren't on Enterprise and Discovery, because, they weren't about then. You know what I mean? We hadn't discovered them that.
They were just sitting there going, we don't care. Like, Q sort of sitting there going, oh, another species coming out. You know what? I don't have time for this. Like, I'm going to go sleep for about 50,000 years. Like, take a 10-minute nap, and next thing you know, oh look, it's Pike's time now. Okay, you can get him coming, like you can get an older version of Delancey coming back in Discovery easily enough, because you could have him play the whole, oh, I thought, you know, it's been such a long time since I've been around that maybe I should start showing my age a little bit. I always thought I'd look a little bit better as an older man anyway. You know, kind of doing that thing. And then doing the whole, I love the new uniform. Snap the fingers. Here he is in Discovery era uniforms. As he appears in, like, the last scene uniform that he was in, which was, like, TNG or something. Be quite cool,
so
just to kind of...
What you could do is visit the bridge and go, ah, the new uniforms. Absolutely not. And snap them back into their old ones. Because they are ugly.
Or just snap him into like TNG era uniforms, go, I always preferred this one anyway. Or you could literally
just
snap,
says nothing, and he just does like the Picard tuck where he pulls it down and he's like, yes.
Yes, could literally just like appear, snap his fingers, and then bam, next thing you know, you've got like everyone standing in every single era of uniform, and he's just and then just walks up to like one of the ones he likes better, goes, I always preferred this one. Bam, all crew's wearing it just because. Just do like a typical Q taking the piss out of everybody kind of thing would be so good.
Yes, if we can't have Cyborg, I require Q. have my bitchy Vulcan, I want my bitchy Q.
I was gonna say, Cyborg would be a long shot at this point. It's like, oh no, something shot him off into the future. He just conveniently happens to be here. Where's Spock? He's dead for about 700 years, but, you know.
Miss Cyborg.
What does God need with a starship? He's here. Let's just take him to here. It's fine. God and starships. Let's do it.
Made no sense. He was just going around acquiring people. Like, hey, you want to come God with me? And they were like, yes. For whatever reason, they just looked one look at Cyborg. I mean, I would. And was like, yes, we'll do anything for you, sir. It's just, I love you.
It's like, who, sir? God, sir? Me, sir? Yes, sir. Just straight out. Like, brilliant. Like, I love, I'm loving ideas. You know, Discovery writing team, if you need some ideas, if you're running out, come to us, we'll give you plenty.
Yeah, like, Alex Kurtzman, if you hear this, I'm hireable. I only work at McDonald's. I'll leave.
Yeah, I mean, I totally wouldn't leak any of the information onto the internet, because, you know, that would be a terrible thing to do. That's a terrible work ethic. We wouldn't ask for people's opinions on how to make the show better and actually follow through with them or anything, you know? Like, that would be a terrible way to do stuff.
You wouldn't actually give the fans what they wanted.
Right. Sorry, I'm just reading your notes on the other screen while we're talking about this. I'm just seeing what you was writing about
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Was it the sound? This is something about... Oh, I'm totally misreading that. I thought it was like, I drooled. It's like, I decided I'm in love with whatever this thing is because I cannot read it because it's small. But to do with the prodigy stuff again. Yeah. back to the old prodigy stuff. Where are we on our messed up idea of thing? I think we've done most of the quote unquote scripted parts.
Hey, getting back to the offspring that was 20 minutes ago that we never finished.
We never finished that. That's where I was trying to circle back to, but I couldn't remember where we were. Please, offspring.
I don't know. I ended up at Cybok being like, I brought you a ship, Sky Daddy. That's where I ended up. Well, it's called God Sky Daddy. Anyway.
Yeah.
Offspring. Data had a kid and Picard said, that kid's not legal. That athlete's gonna go mad.
It's like, okay, so let's go to a little bit further down the wiki so we can get back on track here. So like, Picard got informed about... I'm on the wiki just because it's a quick aid to memory. Leave me alone. We can very easily go through here and mess wiki up later if we really wanted to. So Picard was informed about Lyle and her progress, expresses concern to Data for constructing Lyle in secrecy. This is what we were talking about before. How he fought the corner for Data to be able to do whatever the hell he wants, but then when Data does whatever the hell he wants, Picard's like, no, you naughty, naughty robot. Because so Data's like reminds him that he should not express such concern. He would not express such concern were two human crew members to decide to procreate, to which the captain has little argument. Ha! Take that, Picard. Nonetheless, one Picard, no. As general orders, reports to Starfleet, prompting Admiral Haftel to arrive to evaluate Lyle. I hate TNG admirals because they all turn out to be bastards. Like, Nechayev, bitch. Haftel, whatever the hell his name is, bastard. Every single admiral. It's like the one qualification you need to go from captain to admiral is forget everything that you knew about being a good guy and a captain and become a complete and utter bastard.
Feel like they turn up to the interview with a sheet of paper that just is, instead of a resume, it just says knobhead in massive letters, and it's like, ah, yes.
No, they just stand there eating an apple. CinemaSins reference, anyone?
Yep. Very true.
Yeah. So yeah, you get the whole thing of the Admiral turns up from the outset. Haftel is determined to transfer Lyle to Starfleet. See, absolute arsehole. He interviews Lyle where she reveals her desire to remain on the Enterprise with her father, but the Admiral was unmoved. Typical Admiral. Upon leaving the meeting, Lyle visits Troy. Oh, we gotta have Troy in the episode somewhere because, you know, Marina Sirtis wouldn't be happy if she wasn't. Lyle's clearly confused and distraught, and to Troy's amazement, reveals that she's feeling fear. An android that's not Law feeling fear. That was the big shock horror of the episode, which was absolutely amazing. She started experiencing an overload of information and emotions, and Lyle soon stops speaking and returns to Data's lab. And then from that point on, we start getting the crescendo of the story. The whole Lyle has to go to Starfleet, Data says fuck you, Picard says stand down, and then tells him to fight again. And the next thing you know, yeah, it's basically just this big thing that it all ends where they're trying to save her life, and unfortunately doesn't happen. Which is kind of a shame, because it could have been quite interesting to see what they did with that. If that was a modern day Star Trek, I can guarantee you we would have had Star Trek Lyle. It's like all of her adventures as time went on.
That would be quite cool. Like, genuinely, I genuinely would like to see what would have happened if she hadn't have died.
I thought they missed a trick with Picard. They could have had, like, in Data's dream scene at the end, they could have had Lyle there with him.
Or yeah, that's what pissed me off about them. Referring to Daj and Soji as like Data's daughter, like what about his actual one?
Yeah, I was sitting there, I was like, what about Lau? What the fuck happened to Lau? Like, you literally could have had Lau mentioned in there at some point, or they could have had like another version of her, but no, it's just Soji and Daj. Don't get me wrong, I love Soji and Daj, but Lau, Law, no, just B4? Is that what we're going to talk about here? But yeah, fine, whatever.
And then Planet of the Androids.
Right? God, that's it. Another one that's just an episode in and of itself. Let's quickly jump into the thing. Junie says that her dad would have had all the qualifications needed to be a Starfleet Admiral. I could not possibly comment on that at all. In any way whatsoever.
Solidarity there, Junie. Me too.
Yep. I think that goes for a lot of the people in here. Okay, ultimate question before we try to figure out what we're moving on to next. I think, actually, we can do a little bit of time on Disco Season 3. We can kind of give you guys a precursor to Episode 3, which will be entirety of Season 3 of Disco. So here you can maybe like pick out one or two episodes that you really want to kind of vent about.
Ooh,
before we
lift off the best scene of the entire thing.
Yes.
It's when Lau enters 10 forward and immediately upon seeing Riker decides she needs to kiss him. That is the most accurate thing I've ever seen.
Like, that is the most Jonathan Frakes episode ever. It's like, yeah, so there's gonna be this new female character on the show. Right, I gotta kiss her. Jonathan, no, gotta kiss her, don't care. Jonathan, I'm directing it, fuck off. Jonathan, she's an android, I don't care.
Sipping his coffee, writing it down, just yes.
Right,
there will be an android with that emotions, but will she fall in love? Yes, but with who? Me.
I can't imagine him doing that as well. Jazz hands just at the head of the writer's table. Me. Just
6'4" just leans back on his chair like, me.
Just beard, stroking the beard all the way through the meeting while they're mentioning, like, you know, explaining everything to do with Lau. And he's like, gonna kiss her. Yep, gonna kiss her. Don't care who they get to play her. Gonna kiss her. Who's
just
she gonna kiss
stick
in this
one
scene?
Drawing and he just slides it across the table.
Such a freak.
Him
thing
and
to
Lau
do.
Kissing.
he makes me think more and more of Zap Brannigan from Futurama than anything. It's like, I know that he was based solely on like William Shatner and Kirk, but Zap also just makes me think of Riker as well, just because of how much of a sex pest he really is. It's absolutely crazy.
So bad. Like, early seasons Riker, like seasons 1 to like maybe middle of 3, start of 4, is awful.
That's where they literally were just trying to clone the Kirk and put it into that's not a sentence I want to finish the way that sounds. Just the way they did it, like, thank you, Marty. You've just reminded me on something that I wanted to touch on before we end this, so I'm gonna finish on the offspring, quickly mention what you've mentioned, and then we'll go on to Disco. So if we are going to give, right, so this is a two-parter. If we're going to give this a 5-star rating, obviously 1 being worse, so 0 being worse, 5 being the best, and chat and comment section, you can of course give your own ratings on this as well. If you was giving it a rating 0 to 5, how good would you say this episode was? And would you say that this holds up to modern day standards of a good TV show? Like this one episode, would it hold up? Thanks for that. I was going to think. Personally, I would give it probably like a decent midway point, probably 3.5-4 stars. It deals with a very good subject. It kind of deals with the It goes along the whole lines of the Data is still a human. He can do whatever the hell he wants. But at the same time, well, he's not human, he's an android, you know what I mean? It's the whole, he's not quite what he wants to be, so he still has the restrictions of, well, he has to do he has to still abide by Starfleet. He can't have his own will because he's not human, and the way they get around it, and obviously the entire story with Lao, the way she goes from being this androgynous, big, flat, bulky mess of a naked android to emotional breakdown at the end, to the point where she needs shutting down, and the whole journey that you go through, I think it holds up as an amazing episode in the long run. Like, you could tell that story on any TV show, and I don't think it would have been done as well as they did it on TNG. And Frakes did a very, very, very good job with telling that story and directing that story.
I would agree. I don't think I'd give it as high as a 4, possibly a 3. Like, 4 and 5s are reserved for, like, my top tier sort of, like, my episodes.
So half stars are available, by the way. You can give it a 3.5 if you need to.
I don't believe in half stars.
Ooh.
I am one way or the other. Yeah, I would give it a 3, perhaps, because, like, it wasn't terrible. Like, some of it I didn't like. I didn't particularly agree with, like, a lot of it. Particularly, like, Picard in this was just being a bitch, and I've got no idea why. He woke up and chose violence.
Somebody had to be the bad guy at that point, didn't they?
Well, yeah. But it also showcased a nice little sort of beta section where it was like, no, he's really trying. He really wants to be human.
Yeah.
He's going to go about it by creating a child. If that's what happens in your head, Data, and you think that makes you human, you do, you sunshine. And he just was so proud of this child. Like, she's throwing the ball with Wesley and she misses it, and he just sort of looks at her and smiles, and you're like, oh.
It's like, you see so much in an android that wants to be, you see more in an android that wants to be human than you ever do in anyone who's actually got a kid. Because most people that have kids are just sitting there going, God, this kid will not shut up. They don't want to play with a ball. Oh, leave me alone, will you? You know, and then you've got just Data sitting there staring. It's like, that's brilliant. It's amazing.
I think the reason that Data doesn't do that is because that's what people do to Data.
Shut up. Just.
Like, he doesn't want his kid to feel like that. And that's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably get a 3.
Like, Data is dad goals as far as attentiveness, I'd say. So would you say that it holds up to modern day?
Choose its own gender as well.
Yeah, exactly. There was no problem with
that. It can be whatever it wants.
Yeah, it's like, you be you. Just, if you feel that you want to be a Klingon with spikes coming off the top of your head, be a Klingon with spikes coming off the top of your head. Or be an Andorian. Whatever you want, you can be you.
See, I love Data.
It was an absolutely amazing story. So would you say it holds up as a like, does it hold up to modern day TV standards? Is it still a good show? Would you say it holds up to this day, 31 years later? Is it still as good as it was?
Yeah. I think it's still very relevant. I think it's a good watch, and it's one of those that you do sort of remember, like, perhaps maybe not from the name, but once that you sort of, like, you read a synopsis sort of thing, you're like, oh, I remember that. That's that one. I think because it only happened once. Didn't have, like, multiple children.
Yeah.
Just made the one. And, like, you sort of remember it. We don't get into that guy. That is a failed father.
We will get there one day. Let's see. So
he put his first one in the bin.
Oh, you did for a while. So Marty gives it. Mike is a 6. 6 for your voice and 1 for my. Thank you. Thank you so much. Kang with 1 out of 5. Apparently, I've failed to speak centrally to convince Kang otherwise. Well, maybe if you're nice to me later, we can do it on Discord and make you feel a little bit better. Bowie gives it a 4 out of 5, which is very high. Bowie, I would love to know your reasonings on that before we move on. That's a very good score. Same with Marty. I'd love to know your reasoning behind it as well. Like, why it's such a high score for those two episodes. I sold Kang on big, flat, bulky mess of a naked android. Straight away, 5 out of 5. So that's kind of cool. And Junie can testify to the kid thing. but still does things as she is a parent, and she's not her dad, which is brilliant, because, you know, we all want to be an attentive parent if we have the chance. So before we move on, there was a bit that I was meant to take down in the notes that I throw to you every time something Star Trek related comes up that we want to talk about, and completely forgot because it was like 6 a.m. when I saw it. Robert Duncan and McNeil, aka Tom Paris, and Garrett Wang, aka the nearly 50-year-old ensign, are still trying to get a Captain Proton TV show made. And I'm sitting here thinking, why have they not optioned this already for, say, like a CBS or Paramount Plus miniseries, or just like a one-off kind of like straight to TV movie or something like that? You've got options. The Adventures of Captain Proton were some of the best like B plots in Voyager when they did them. It gave us Queen Arachnia. Just Janeway being Janeway.
Yes. Oh,
which was
gosh.
Brilliant. It gave us the ridiculous robot, which I have said to myself, one day if I can get enough foam or something and figure out a way to see through it, I'm thinking of making that for a con. Just because. And to see how many people get the reference. If I could make it in time, I would make it for DST and post pictures on this show at some point. Which,
I'll be like Captain Proton.
Yeah, there you go. Captain Proton and whatever the frick the damn robot was called. Literally, by the way, for anyone who doesn't know, we are hoping, and this is something, again, I was going to mention this at the end, but we're going to do this now. Destination Star Trek is hopefully happening this year. Fingers crossed, touch wood, all that jazz. Pray to the sky gods. If it does, this might be a live episode recorded on the con floor one day with me, Janeway, Bowie, Q, possibly Jess joining us, and if we're lucky, maybe some audio recordings of some of the talks that happen. You know, and it's also going to be the first time that we've ever met up, but that's besides the point. We will hopefully be able to bring you some DST goodness on this show down the line later on this year, if it does go ahead, fingers crossed. So I wanted to try slip that in there at some point, could not think of a relevant point until just now. There we go. Back to what we were saying. Captain Proton, would you like to see it, even if it's a one series thing or like a one shot feature length episode? Do you think that would be a cool thing to have going on?
Definitely, yeah. I think that was very limited with what we saw in Voyager. I'd like it for it to be like an hour and a half film sort of thing, rather than a series, because I don't think you could get enough for a series out of it.
I mean, but I think it's one of those things that you probably could make like a series from it, but it could be very repetitive if you just like couldn't come up with good enough stories. There's a lot there, like just go cheesy action sort of stuff, but it could, I think, make at least a one-shot series. But please give me I apologize for cutting you off on that one.
Sorry. I don't know, because I feel like Captain Proton for me would, if it was like a series, it would probably have the same vibe as, I don't know if you've seen it, there'll be no spoilers, don't worry, WandaVision.
Personally haven't, but I have seen stuff about it.
Right, I'm gonna say as a side note, fucking unreal, right? Anyway, moving on. I just think, like, first, because I had to be convinced by my friend Jordan, was like, here's my Disney Plus, you need to watch The Mandalorian, you need to watch WandaVision. I was like, okay. So the third episode of WandaVision, because I was a bit behind, and I was like, I hate it. It's making no sense. I don't get it. Please don't make me watch this. And then it all of a sudden got better. And I think that's what it would be with Captain Proton, would it would be so boring,
like,
in the beginning.
Burn.
And I couldn't cope with that. Like, not from something that's Star Trek. I can't have slow burn Star Trek.
I'd agree. Like, you'd have to do it just the right way for it to work, I think.
It's adventure in Captain Proton as a film, all in black and white. Absolutely here for that.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. Like, you could probably do it in just the right way, that if it's done as a series, it's not Not like a, you know, like a full length. You could do it like as a mini series, maybe like do 10 episodes tops, maybe. And you can always have like cameos from the Voyager cast popping in.
Yeah.
You know, you could have like, Kate coming back and doing a Queen Arachnia episode. You could have Seven coming back as a thing, and you could have the Doctor coming back. And the best thing is, they're just pre-programmed character models from the times that they were on the holodeck during everything that's gone wrong. You know, like he's either gone, ah, screw it, well, it's there, so we're just going to use these people as, you know, we're going to have these people as the character models now for these characters, rather than, I don't know where I'm going with this because my brain just went, nope. Just trying to figure something out. I had a point and it fully escaped me. It went straight out the airlock. Basically, just bring those actors in, give them their cameos, and you could call it like a, this is what the character looks like, because there was a problem with the programming and they just went, eh, screw it, why not? Let's just leave it like that. We miss our friends, kind of thing. Like, that's probably...
Yeah, I think the only person out of that whole cast that hasn't really aged is Garrett Wang. He looks exactly the same. He's just got a mullet.
Yeah, it's crazy how Garrett is, like, still 99% Harry Kim with no difference. That dude is brilliant. Definitely. I think Tim Russ has kind of sort of done the typical Vulcan. Doesn't age that much, but, I mean, you can see the age in his face now. Even Seven's kind of... showing her age now.
They all still look so good, though. Something about being an unproblematic cast. William Shatner, take note.
Oh, Shatner. Which brings me on to a little game that I think we're going to play at the end of the stream. Boys and girls, if you was not here for the pre-show, you missed out. We have a new game that we're going to be playing at the end of episodes every now and then. It's going to be called Kirk, Marry, Brig. Basically, it's a fuck, marry, kill situation. Except in this case, you are Kirking them, you are marrying them, or you are brigging them. And we will give you a choice. I want you guys to vote down in the chat throughout the rest of this thing. And give us a number between 1 and 33.
Yeah.
You will be choosing...
on a playground.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I had the right number. Give me a number between 1 and 33. The one with the most votes on that number is going to be the group that we pick from, and we're going to give you three names, and we have to choose whether we are going to Kirk, marry, or brig them at the end of the show.
Help everybody pick a different number.
That would just be chaos. So before we get onto that, and before we kind of like start to wrap up, I want you to pick one episode out of Discovery Season 3. And we all know how much you absolutely adore Discovery Season 3. And I want you to give us your honest opinions, honest review, honest feelings behind why you like or hate that episode and why it is what it is for you. You've had time to prepare for this.
Didn't. Which season?
Season 3, yeah. This is our lead into episode 3, the Disco Diatribe.
Okay. A good episode or a bad episode? Because they're not equally balanced.
Whichever one you want to pull from. At this point, like, you can give us your worst one and give us the biggest shitting vent of your life, or you can give us the one that was, you know what, that one actually wasn't so bad, and then give us the worst thing in the next episode. It's entirely up to you.
Lord, what even happened in season?
Because I'm guessing we're leaving the big topic, the very kind of like valid topic, for the next episode.
Yeah.
One with certain characters and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll leave that one for next time. Okay.
Yeah. This is the thing about it, is not single episode stood out.
We will go with Kang, the one that was so bad that it was good. Which one would you consider that it was so bad that it was good?
No, I actually have quite a good one here, and it's just 1, 2, 3. Ignore me. Six. Seven. Episode seven.
Okay.
Which was Unification 3.
Oh God, that one.
Yes. Now, what do you mean? Oh God, this one. It's the best one of a bad bunch,
I
for
don't know.
definite.
I remember the episode 7, you said?
Possibly. I can't count. I don't know.
So I'm just gonna double check this one so we can give people the rundown. Unification, yeah, there we go. Okay,
in
unification
front of me. Got my
three.
notes.
Yeah, no, I was just making sure that was the right one. Carry on.
Didn't remember it. So basically, this was the episode where you properly learn that the Romulans and the Vulcans have come together and created Navarre for no reason at all, except why not?
Reason.
Absolutely does not fit in the timeline, even a little bit. They
I mean, I guess it was bound to
did
happen
it anyway.
eventually. Spock did get it
It's
on the
just nice.
start, so I guess Spock got it
Yeah, I
going, so
think
it was good
it's.
to kind of have it happening, so just down the line that it was there eventually, but yeah.
It's
Sorry.
nice that my third brother's work and finished it off. Spock couldn't do it, but Michael could.
Because Michael can do everything.
Michael does everything on this damn
Michael even
show.
kills walkers in The Walking Dead because she is everywhere.
Yes. I like the
Anyway.
idea of Navarre. I like the Romulans, but I also like the Vulcans. And I like the fact that they live on the same planet, but they do not coexist.
Yeah.
They hate each other.
Yeah, no, I get it. Because it's typical Romulan, isn't it? You're never gonna have the perfect moments with them. They're never gonna be like the best people ever. You're never
No, they're
gonna expect
bitchy
them
as
to be.
fuck.
Yeah, you're never gonna expect them to be the best people ever. And if a Romulan is being nice, then there's something wrong.
That's pretty much the way it goes. But then the Vulcans are so unmoving as well. They're like, well, we don't give a shit. And the Romulans are like, well, neither do we. They both very much give a shit.
Yeah, very true.
It was nice to see the Co'op Malat in Discovery as well, because it was like sort of a confirmation of Picard that this is in fact, I don't
Yeah,
know,
it was like the little
if they hell
tie-in with
around.
the, yeah, the little tie-in of the, it, like, I'm still a little so-so on that one, because I still have the fear that that thing that we saw at the end of Picard is gonna somehow tie into Discovery and it somehow being freaking control or something like that. But that's a tangent that we're not going to go on because that can take years off everybody's life.
Be honest, I don't think that writing room's smart enough to come up with that.
This is true. This is very true.
It was Michael's sort of, I don't want to call it trial, but trial.
Basically.
And he has to invoke Mummy's help. So Gabrielle Burnham turns up and I lose my mind. I was like, yeah, nice to know she's still about.
That was a good little thing.
It was nice that Michael just had the sheer fucking audacity to walk up to the Vulcan Council and invoke T'Kalin Kett just out of nowhere, like she had the right. Because she's Michael Burnham. Is what she likes, and she gives off this big rousing speech of like, you should be unified, and if this is what you're gonna argue about, then I don't want to be here. And it's whoa, she's gonna leave, but we all know she wouldn't leave the Michael Burnham show.
Of course not. She would never ever leave the Michael Burnham show. So there was one goof in this, according to IMDb, one continuity goof in the entire episode, which I think is being very, 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 kind in saying it. It's just a nice little bit of trivia for you all. Vulcan's always been a desert planet with an Earth-like atmosphere, as we all know. In this episode, it has a green atmosphere in some of the shots. So Vulcan is no longer a desert planet. It's very much a greener thing, which is making me wonder, is this still Vulcan that we're on? Or was it a new planet? Was it new Vulcan or I could never. It's been that long since I really paid attention to the episode, and I never paid attention to what they may or may not have said. was that the first, like, was that new Vulcan? Was it the same Vulcan that we know of? Or was it somewhere else? Like, are they getting that wrong or am I getting that wrong?
Don't know. Oh, Jess is here. Hi, Jess. I don't know if she's still here. She said bye.
Oh yeah, Jess popped in and popped out, I think. I'm sure she will catch this up on the record at some point. Hopefully.
If she's still here. Hi, Jess.
if you're still here, I didn't even know that. I've kind of been side-eyeing chat while researching bits and pieces. Oh, Kang being so beautiful. Kang loves me. He absolutely adores me. He's like, you know what, Jay? You're kind of like a new planet. Because you're out of this world. Oh my. Come back.
Y'all. I'm going to write a fanfic.
Here we go. Another fanfic on the way, boys and girls.
I didn't even notice that.
No, neither did I. Like, it literally took that. Okay, so here's one of the quotes, probably some of the best quotes from the thing. This is literally everything that's coming through the entire thing. You were saying about Burnham having her moment. And this is all an exchange between Burnham and your favorite, old Admiral Vance.
God, yes.
You've got the whole discussion of Michael's saying, are you familiar with an experiment called SB19? Vance is like, can't access it. Why not? It's Navarre, but you know it by its forename, Vulcan. Like, the Vulcans changed their name. It's not just the Vulcans that live there now. I'm butchering this, by the way. they share the planet with the Romulans. Saru has to chime in here. It's like, the Romulans were considered enemies in our time. And then Vance is just like, comes out with a whole thing. He's just like, and for a long time afterwards, until Ambassador Spock brought them back, you see, history forgot about this in your time, but Vulcans and Romulans were actually two tribes of the same species and went their separate ways. Your brother started the process of reunifying them. And then Michael has to pipe in, as she always does. It's like, and he succeeded. It's like, it took centuries after his death, but yes. And that basically was like their little explainer of what happened. It's like, it was just that. It's like, that's your story entirely in a nutshell, just that one little quote. And
yeah,
it feels like they shrug off it. It kind of feels like they wrote that little exchange and then went, right, we need to build a story around this.
Yeah, and that wouldn't surprise me if that's what happened.
It really wouldn't, because later on they go on to quote Spock from Stardate 45825. I hate the way they say it like that. And it's to do with the personal files of Picard and stuff like that. It's like they have a whole speech that Spock put out. And I think this was probably, I'm going to do this no justice whatsoever, but this is my personal opinion after rediscovering this little speechy bit that they did. This is literally the best lines of the entire thing, because they are coming from the one and only Leonard Nimoy. When they're quoting Spock's speech, it's like, close minds have kept these two worlds apart for centuries. We can either choose to live with that, I can never say this word, enmity? Whatever the fuck that is. That word. Or seek to change it. The union of the Vulcan and Romulan people will not be achieved by politics or diplomacy, but it will be achieved. Like the first Vulcans, these people are struggling through a new enlightenment, and they may take decades or even centuries for them to reach it, but they will reach it, and I must help. And it's literally that makes you feel like they went, right, we need to write an episode around this, and that's what gave us what we had.
Oh yeah,
it's like, it's literally just that. They took Unity. They took the episodes of Unification, even. And they were like, right, well, we kind of have to do this. We have to have another one. And then just threw that all in there. And gave us that. And it was just like, well, we need Michael to be like, hey, look, I'm just this because of my brother. I can step out of his shadow now. Thank you. And et voila. Here we go.
Yeah, I think just sort of, I feel like this episode felt very thrown together, like based on the last two sort of unifications.
It felt like a lot of season three was thrown together, to be honest. Like 90% of it. Before we got to like the final couple of episodes and the episodes with like Gray and I keep forgetting the name. Help me out here. Oh, the host that was the host after Gray. Ugh.
Yeah.
Adira, thank you. How am I so bad at thinking up that name every time? Like, other than that plot, having Adira and Gray and some of those stories, it was very, very thrown together, I think.
It was.
But, yeah, I think in general, that's it. Best of the worst, or worst of the best. If you want a better thing, go back, watch the episode, go from there and see what you can think up, because it's okay, but I would not push it any more than it being like 2.5 stars tops.
Yeah, no, well, I'd probably maybe a 3. It definitely wasn't the best, but it's not the worst either.
A 3? That's a... You know what, that's a solid middle ground. I will give you that. But on that, I think we're going to start to wrap this up for today, just because if we carry on with Season 3, we are going to give you guys so much more. And where would the fun be in saving it for another day, another episode of the bridge? Before we go though, we're gonna take Kang's number of 18. Where does that land us on the list? Bowie with a 1.5 out of 5. That is a horrible rating for what feels like a horrible episode. I stand by that, Bowie. I fully stand by that.
What number am I looking for?
18.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So this is gonna 18. Be who?
I just said group 18.
So this is gonna be Kirk, Mary, Brig. Who are our choices?
It's Leland, Quark, and Raffi.
Leland and Raffi?
Leland is the 31 operative.
Oh, him.
Let's go.
Right, so Leland, Raffi, Quark, Kirk, Mary, Brick.
Okay. All right, I'm gonna marry Raffi because that's the only logical answer.
Okay.
I'm gonna Kirk Quark.
Ooh, Ferengi getting his umarks.
Did that eyeshadow. And I'll just boot Leland in a brig.
Leland, get in a brig. Oh, you know what? I can't argue with that choice. I think our first one, we have to agree on everything. That is a straight up Kirk Quark, Mary Raffi, Brig Leland.
The first one ever, and we agree.
Right. Once again, Leland, get in the brig. I'm gonna get a better sound effect for that at some point. Yeah, I don't think we really got a good mix to have a solid debate on that one at this point, but it's a nice little entry and it gives you a rough idea what we're doing. People in chat, feel free, throw your answers in there if we're doing a pre-show later. If not, if you are listening on YouTube, feel free to throw it down in the comments. Kirk, Mary, or Brig, Leland, Raffi, or Quark. Be interesting to see your answers. But I think we are going to have to call that a day, just because we're going to run out of content if we do, or we're going to be going on for another couple of hours. It has been an absolute pleasure, as always, to have you guys listening. Oh, Captain, my Captain, it has been freaking amazing to have you with me again.
Lovely to be here. It's been a while.
It has. Hopefully we're going to leave it too long. You guys could be lucky to be having three episodes back to back in the space of 3 weeks. Bowie says that Leland isn't worthy of the brig. Airlock him ASAP. I would probably make an exception and airlock the crap out of that guy straight away. You're right. We are possibly going to be doing some back-to-back recordings over this weekend. So you guys will hopefully have some more content to listen to over the next couple of years. Couple of years? Hopefully. Couple of weeks. Definitely. We are going to be talking Discovery Season 3 all the way through next episode, along with the usual beloved little tangents and chat interactions. We're possibly going to be having an episode with Pig with us very soon. The Great Voyager Debate, which is going to be pretty damn cool. That will be Janeway defending Discovery. Not Discovery. I don't think you'd ever want to do that, would you? that'll be Janeway defending Voyager, and Pig giving us his best reasons why Voyager was terrible. That's going to be a very, very, very interesting one to do. We're still thinking of doing the Appreciate or Assassinate segment. So when we're not doing the airlock thing, we'll do the Appreciate or Assassinate of a character, where we do a rundown of what we like or dislike about said character. You guys will get to choose what one we do. There's so many ideas floating about the older brain space that one day we will hopefully get down onto a show and have a little bit more structure for it. But I think until next time, it has been amazing to have you all around. Dylan, my guy, appreciate you as always. Thank you. It's been fun. chat, it's been amazing to have you as well. You guys keep safe. Enjoy your trek. And until next time, we'll catch you later.